Good morning. As I was looking at the topic to preach this weekend, and of course this week on Friday was Valentine's Day, and so I was thinking, something special. I find an opportunity to do something special for my wife, and as I was thinking through the whole process of love and marriage and special whatever, flowers, chocolate, I did all that, and it just had that message. God laid that message in my heart to talk about relationship and talk about marriage and then talk about institution of marriage. So I was looking through your theme for 2014 is about community. And what I'm going to talk about today, it's about community. So marriage is an institution that is very close to my heart. And I know it's very close to God's heart. And that's why I looked at it as sacred. Marriage is a sacred institution. I didn't know what to think. I think last week or 2 weeks ago, during the Grammys, when Queen Latifah was officiated 33 weddings, they called the mass wedding ceremony, and within one song, 33 people got married, whether they're heterosexual or homosexual. I saw that clip, and then I was just thinking, I don't know. I don't know what you think. You might have your opinion. But to me, that's Hollywood, right? And to me, marriage is, to me, sacred. It's personal, I guess, in some way, and to share between you and your wife. But to me, it's holy, it's sacred, and it's holy. And I must say, it really put the conviction in my heart that not too many people really understand how marriage, that how God intended. And we think a lot of time in my mind is it's marriage is something the Hollywood romanticize it, it's about receiving, it's about what's in it for me, it's about romance and all that kind of thing, and then if there's no romance, the marriage is falling apart, right? And I look at and read the script. If you read carefully, read the scripture. Comparing what the biblical marriage intended and what the Hollywood marriage is intended, you do kind of side by side. You know what? There's a lot of differences in this. And no wonder, out of 10 marriages, never mind in statistically speaking, but out of 10 marriages among Christians, 3 end up in divorce, 2 intolerable. And then only a few, like 2%, like 2 out of 10 couples really know what marriage intended to be by God. Only 2 couples out of 10. And the rest is suffering or broken. You understand? So, as a pastor, as a Christian, I look at my own marriage too. It's not something that, they let it slip and slide. Okay, now she said yes to me. Now she's stuck with me. I can do whatever I want. No. What's in it for me? No. Oh, the romance is gone. I'm in trouble. No. But and at the same time, when we say yes to each other on that special, very special wedding day, It's a start of a new relationship, new marriage, right? But it's a start of a new community. Community. And God intended for us to be fulfilled, satisfied within that union. Why are we having so much trouble with it? It's because the fact that we are steering away from the instruction of God has given us. So today, I wanted to bring it out, bring it back. I wanted to read and really discover, not for maybe discover some of us, or be reminded that this is how God intended. Let's go back to the basics. Let's go back what is right. And then you can go against how the world presents it or how Hollywood presents it. And then you realize how different the two perspectives of marriages are. All right, I want to read Ephesians chapter 5, if you have your scripture with you, verses 21 to 33. All right? I have to make this claim that probably a lot of you, I know a lot of you are single. And you go, this, you know, mentally you might say, you've written me off already. Pastor Jim's talking about marriage. That's not for me. No, please, you need to know this. Because eventually, you're going to get married, right? So you need to know this. Whether you're 12 years old, 14 years old, I don't care, all right? So please, give me that half an hour of time. Give God the half an hour of time and hear this, because this is God's word to us, instructions. All right? In chapter 5, Paul is talking about the principle of spiritual filled life. And one of them is about submission. And here it is, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, at this point, Paul hasn't talked about marriage yet. He's talking about the church. He's talking about you and I as believers. Submit to one another. If you want to live in peace, you want to live in harmony, you need to submit to one another. We'll talk about that later. I'll read on. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband. Here's when Paul talks about the husband-wife relationships. As you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and give himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hates it in his own body, but they feed and care for their own body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Okay, let's set the framework for the spiritual filled life now. Submit one to one another out of reverence for Christ. Setting the groundwork for the spiritual life, that is the biblical principle of submission. Paul tells all believers, male, whether male or female, to submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. So, out of fear. I put that out of fear, as in out of fear for Christ. Okay? Out of respect for Christ. Out of commitment for Christ. You know, we have a lot of opinions here. We have a lot of ideas here. They're all great ideas. But sometimes, as a church, as a community, we've got to go one direction. Not all of us agree with it, but we're all going to end up in the same destination anyways, right? whether we take Route A or B, you know, it doesn't matter. So for the people who prefer to take the B, you know, if we decide to go on A, then the people who has the opinion of B needs to submit out of reverence for Christ. Not that we go, oh, we totally ignore your ideas. No, because we all decide to go, this is how right we're going to go. Well, guess what? We're all going to end up in the same place. See, out of reverence for Christ. So instead of grumbling, instead of complaining, oh, my idea's not heard, or instead of, I don't want to go listen, I'm going to split and go to another church. But rather, we go, okay, all right, out of submission for Christ, we do this. We go together. That's what Paul is talking about here, the submission for Christ. Voluntary putting our needs under the needs of others. Trying to do what other person want rather than what we want. Not thinking about what is best for us in a personal way, but what's best for others. What's best for the community. What's best for the marriage. This is how we can live in harmony and in peace. And our attitude is to humble ourselves and seek to serve others. And this idea is what I'm trying. This is the idea of selfless submission to one another. Submission to others, it's a commitment to Christ. We honor and obey God by submitting to each other. We love others, we love Christ. So really, the way we treat each other really reflects on how we are with Christ. I could tell you that for those who are humble, who has a heart of prayer, I'll tell you, this person have a heart for people as well. But if a person who's very critical about others, I'll tell you, this person, chances are, doesn't have much of a spiritual life or spiritual filled life. Because the scripture teaches us it goes hand in hand. The way we respect each other is how we really respect God. This is the framework that Paul's setting up. How we honor and obey God is by our submission to each other. This is the framework as we enter into the instruction of to the husband and wives. This is the biblical way. This is God's way of living in harmony between husband and wives. So the here is the encouragement, the instruction to the wives. And then I'm going to go to the husband, okay? So, verse 22, Paul talks about wives, submit to your husband, as to the Lord. The word submit is the same of as 21st, verse 21, the verse before. As in to reverence to everybody. It's the same submission. It does not mean inferiority or become a slave to. It is not a blind submission. It is not a command for women to be treated as slaves by their husband. Wives are not to be told here when husbands say, jump, and you say, how high? If I said that to my wife, she'll grab a walking stick and start whacking me with the head. I'll tell you right now. Wives are to use their mind to discover how they can submit to their own desire, to what is best for their husbands. Submission does not mean that that you jump off the cliff because your husband has decided it's the good thing for you to do so. Sometimes submission is going to take take a stand for what is right, imposing your husband to keep from to keep him from falling off the cliff either. And of course, submission is a dirty word in our society. You wouldn't believe growing up how many discussions I have with girls who are my friends about this topic, about submitting one another, wife submit to them. They have such a hard time grasping it. They have a problem accepting that this is God's word to them, because they didn't understand what that means. They think it's, oh, that they would lose their control. They thought they would say, they thought they were going to be dominated or controlled by their husband. But it has nothing to do with that. It's a role. It's a responsibility. It's a voluntary submission to a husband. It's voluntary. The extreme feminism movement have abused the subject. Church leader and pastor have abused this subject as well. So what is biblical submission? It described as a decision to voluntarily place yourself under your husband's authority. It is to give place to his position as God ordained it in marriage. It is voluntary. Your husband is not to demand it from you. He cannot say, I am the leader. You're supposed to follow me. It's a voluntary decision made by the woman. God is saying, this is the proper attitude toward your husband. When you're submitting to your husband, you are also submitting to Christ's authority. Therefore, you are submitting to the Lord. This is a true story. It was told by, I was talking to one of the wife, not my wife, but not one, I want to refer her husband and wife now, okay? The husband told the wife to go pick up a family friend, a friend. And so she did. She went to the train station, picked her up. And it was late. It was raining. Really raining hard. And after picking the friend up, the husband would take the taxi and went to the train station and supposedly picked them up. But instead, he came out the taxi, greeted the guest, led her into the car, and he went in after into the taxi, leaving the wife standing on the curb. And shut the door, and then as it took off. The wife told me how hurtful that was. As they drove off in the taxi, her standing there in the rain, bawling her eyes out. True story. And the thing is, to the husband, there's nothing wrong with that. Why? Because that's tradition thinking for this guy. That in the marriage, the wife is like a slave. They have a role. And they kept that role to the teeth, if you will. He doesn't have to love her. It's more like a service to him. yeah, you would send, I guess you would send your slave out. You don't even treat your slave like that, let alone your wife. But that's what happened. Shuxi walked home, bawling her eyes off, met the mother. Mother said, what's wrong? Couldn't able to get herself to tell her parents what happened to her, to her. So ashamed, so degraded. Here, let me tell you, it's an example of inferiority, if you will. You're my wife, you're my slave, I tell you what to do. He doesn't think there's anything wrong with it. But that's his, if you will, his mentality. But it's, to us, it's like, what? It's totally wrong. I mean, whatever tradition he came from, I mean, this is biblical, like this is written in 2,000 years ago with Paul. This letter is 2,000 years ago. I don't know where, you know, that's pretty old. That's pretty old. But yet, so contemporary. So God knows. You know, whatever time we're living, that this instruction fits anyone. If we want to live in harmony, or whether it's church institution or marriage institution, this instruction is written carefully for us if we want to stay within in peace and harmony. Reason for biblical submission. For the husband is the head, verse 23, husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also the wife submit to their husband in everything. The husband is the head of the wife. This defines the role and responsibility in the marriage. Its function rather than hierarchical. It's not that husband is better, nor the wife inferior to the husband. In God's eyes, we are all equal. This is the pattern established since creation. The scripture reflects Christ's relationship to the church. Wife submits, has Christ submit. Husband leads, has Christ leads. Christ leads the church, a caring relationship rather than controlling one. He leads with honor and love. He shows mercy and forgiveness to the church. He is present in the church. Most of all, he died for the church. So the husband's attitude be the same. Let's go to the husband now. Husband, love your wives. Verse 25. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. I remember when I was in university, I was listening to a wonderful pastor named Dr. Greg Aoyang. Dr. Greg Aoyang, I don't know how many of you, probably none of you have heard of him. He was a pastor from Los Angeles. He was a Chinese pastor. Pastoring First Chinese Baptist of Los Angeles. And in 1985, he was invited to win a conference, and he didn't make it. He didn't make it because in June 85, he was shot to death on the pulpit. And the church before 500 people. And it was quite an amazing story and a sad story, but a gifted man, and certainly, I personally never met him, but But his messages on a cassette back then really touched my life. It makes me I've turned my life around. Let's put it this way. Sometimes I quote from him, and this is what I wanted to think. He was speaking on marriage and courtship, and this is what he said. He taught the course, and one of the students at the end asked, "Now, well, how do I know that I'm ready to marry someone? How do I know when I'm ready to marry someone?" It's a good question. How do I know? And a lot of times it goes, you're ready when you're ready, right? You get the answer. You'll know when you're ready, right? If you understand this passage about Christ and the church, us, to the wife, how we need to love our wives. And this is what he said. You're not ready to marry someone until you are ready to die for that person. I thought about that one. Husbands in this room, ask yourself that question. How much do you love your wives? To a point that you're willing to die for that person. Hey, students, single people, people about to get married, are you ready to die for that person? Your love, husband, love your wife. Number one, love has to be sacrificial. Because God's love is sacrificial. Christ died for the church because Christ loved the church. Christ loved us, that he's willing to die for us. The biblical instruction to husband is that love your wife, that you are willing to die for them. When I asked that husband, leaving his wife behind in the taxi, you ask the husband, are you willing to die for your wife? Most likely no, because that's my slave. No one's going to die for your slave. See how messed up we are with different perspective in marriage? God's love is sacrificial. Just as Christ died for the church, so should the husband hold the same attitude of love and devotion for his wife. Number two, sanctifying love. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain, wrinkle, or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Wow, this is a beauty. So your life, the rest of your life after you marry, this is what you need to do as husband. It's to make her holy. It's to pray with her, have devotion with her, and it's to encourage her, to present her and brag about her. Uphold her, to bring out her inner beauty and outer beauty, both in character, in physical, in every way. Because you could do it. We could do it as husbands. Because that makes me think. What should I do on Valentine's Day? The right question is, what should I give her, right? It's good that we could always go to Shoppers and flick, it's everything, one aisle, everything's all prepared, pre-arranged, packed for you. You don't have to think about writing your card anymore, because within the card, there's everything written out for you, right? I just put your name on. To Frida, Jim, right? Love, Jim. Done, right? you know, if you ask the right question, you know, all you do is you want to do something. No, it's not about doing something on Valentine's Day. The question to ask is that, how can I bring out the beauty in her? How can I honor her? How can I love her? How can I treasure her? How can I make her feel special? Paying a $200 dinner for two, it's not a big deal. You don't have to do that. You can cook her dinner, right? For $50. But sanctifying love, it has to be sanctified. Third, 28. In the same way, husband ought to love their wives with their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are all members of the body. So what you're trying to say here is, third, has to be selfless. Selfless. Have to be selfless. Paul's saying, well, you know what? Oh, he goes, wait, yeah, I'll love my wife, but first I need to learn how to love myself first. And he goes, no. Paul's saying, you know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, no, you already love yourself. Just love your wife as you love yourself. Just as Christ loved the church. It's selfless. You know, I know for a fact that when things turn sour, how the Hollywood marriage presents is that what's in it for me? How come I'm not, you know, I'm not getting the love or getting the present that I deserve. Hollywood is selfish, but biblical is selfless. It has nothing to do with ourselves, but it has everything to do we giving to others, to that person. How can I serve? What can I give you? What can I offer? How can I contribute? Fourthly, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loved himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Fourthly, it has to be satisfying love. Just as Christ meet all of our needs in the church, so shall husband meet the needs of his wife, physical, emotional, and spiritual. God had designed marriage as a Christ union with the church. It's a mysterious union, as I put it. Mysterious because it's a God's thing. Not a people thing. It's a God thing. That's why it's mysterious. Marriage is a divine vehicle to meet many of our needs of human being. Being there for her, laughing and crying with her, love that brings out the satisfaction for both husband and wife. Pray for your wife. You know, when Frida and I disagree on something, we argue, whatever, about sometimes the most stupid things, you know, at the end, we don't feel good. We don't feel good. You know, sometimes you feel distant, and that distant feeling, it certainly doesn't feel good. But there are times I feel so close to her, and feel good, close, and happy with her, so proud with her, for her. And those feelings, it feels so sacred, in a sense that, wow, this, I can't believe this is actually happening. You know, if you look at people who are about to get married, they're like madly in love each other, you know, and we look at, wow, there's something magical about this relationship, because it is. And a lot of time we kind of miss that concept that, wait till you 5 years into your marriage, wait till you see what happened. Those romance will, boom, gone out the door, right? No. Because the fact that we're not participating in what we are supposed to do. But supposed to be satisfying, right? I love God. I look forward to come to church. I look forward to worship God. I look forward to worship God. I've been going to church all my life. I'm still in love with God. I feel satisfied every time I come to the church. Same thing. There's satisfying love within the marriage. You don't get bored. Sure, we have our own roles within the family unit or the marriage unit. But what Paul is trying to say is that submission, it takes effort. It doesn't just happen. It's an active word that you need to take part, and your attitude needs to change as of love and submission. Here I many times I argue with a lot of my female friends, but not anymore, but back when I grew up, they say, wow, submit. No, you don't know. You don't understand. The instruction to the husband to love your wife, you know what? You know what God is trying to say to the husband? Not only you love the wife, within that love, there's submission in that. There's sacrificial. You need to, there's sacrificing selflessness in that. Isn't it more stronger than just submit? I said to her, oh, you have it easy. We have to die for you guys. But that's not the point, you know, trying to win an argument, right? But Paul's instruction to us is very simple. I need to close here. The beauty of God's pattern in husband and wife relationship is that it answers our deepest need. A wife's greatest need is to secure in the love of her husband. A husband's greatest need is to be respected by his wife. I believe God made us this way. He created us with this relational need in marriage, whether you like it or not. When a wife submits to her husband's leadership, he finds easier to love her. When a husband loves her selflessly, she finds it easier to submit to him. It's a beautiful pattern. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for the gift of love. Thank you for the gift of each other. For those who are married, we thank you for the gift of our spouse. Father, thank you for this important lesson you've given us that directly relates to our hearts, to our everyday living. So, Father, help us to understand by the power of your Spirit the meaning of submission, love, sacrifice. So, Father, I pray for this church that you will continue to bless, continue to mold, continue to to live in harmony and in peace. And so, Father, we thank you for a team of brothers and sisters who will be heading to Venezuela, understanding what the instability of the country. We pray for their safety. And I know for a fact that you have led this group there, not only to touch the people there in Venezuela, but I know for a fact that this group will be touched more so than ever. So, Father, we thank you. It's a sign of growth, sign of maturity. So we thank you for what you have bestowed upon this group, this church. In Jesus' name we pray.